Detroit, Michigan, on January 26, 1931. He served in the U.S. Army with the 11th Anti-Aircraft Artillery Battalion, automatic weapons, self-propelled. He attained the rank of corporal, and he served from 11-5-51 to 10-31-53. He was stationed with the United States Forces in Austria, in Salzburg, Austria. I'd first like to talk about my memories as a schoolboy during World War II. I was 10, and it was an exciting time. Everyone listened to FDR on December the 8th with his famous Day That Will Live in Infamy speech. FDR, to many, had been a savior during the Depression, and many were sure he would be during the war. Young men rushed to enlist. All my uncles joined or were quickly drafted. Mothers were proud to have those little banners with the stars signifying the number of sons in the service. When the stars changed from blue to gold, it meant that a loved one had died. It was a terrible time for mothers. Their losses were somewhat tempered by the knowledge that their sons or husbands had died for their country. It was a time of intense patriotism. Every day the newspapers brought reports from the front. As a 10-year-old, I didn't consider the death or maiming of our young men, but as the war continued, I began to grow up to the realization that war was not romantic. It was a horrible thing. As the wounded started coming home, a list of dead was reported in the papers. Even we children began to realize. We saved scrap metal and did without butter and sugar and beaten leather shoes and gasoline, but no one complained. Besides, we were raised during the Depression and had already learned to make do and do without. My father went to work at Packard Motor, where engines for PT boats were being built. My mother joined the Red Cross and worked at the Veterans Hospital. My sister and I would join her and roll bandages. We knew nothing of concentration camps or genocide or the atrocities committed by the SS. Ours was a German-Italian neighborhood, so we directed most of our feelings toward the Japanese. We knew about the rape of Nanking and the Bataan Death March. Through it all, FDR would communicate with Americans and assure them that we'd win, but we never doubted it. And when it all ended, there was mass rejoicing, but strangely, a letdown. The hero that had stormed Omaha Beach on D-Day returned to his mundane office job, and Rosie the Riveter went back to being a housewife. Never had Americans ever been so patriotic, so proud of their citizen army, and so willing to make sacrifices for their country. And then, just 6 years later, it was my turn. When the Korean conflict began, there was a noticeable change in the attitude of the American public and of the armed forces. I didn't rush out to enlist, I was drafted. I left with no fanfare, but rather a sad family. This was not a war to end all wars or to save the world for democracy. It was, they said, a police action. I was sworn in at Fort Wayne in Detroit, shipped to Fort Custer in Battle Creek, and then to Indiantown Gap Military Reservation near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. In basic training, our training cadre, who were rotated from Korea, made no effort to instill any patriotism in us. They often used the term bugging out, a term I remember well. Bugging out meant the need to retreat before superior enemy forces. They displayed no optimism about the war. It was surely a different time. When my basic was almost over, I got pneumonia and spent 2 weeks in the hospital. Meanwhile, my basic training outfit got orders for Germany, and I had to start all over again. During my second basic, I decided to go to officer's candidate school. So when basic was over, I went to a leader's course, which was a prep school for OCS. We were to be promoted to corporal when we entered leadership school, and sergeant if we graduated in the top 5 or 10. I didn't get either, although I was fifth in my class. I decided not to go to OCS because I would have had to stay in another year, which I didn't want to do. When our orders came through, everyone was going to the Far East Command. That meant Korea, all but four of us. We had no orders. But to those going to the Far East Command, the realization finally hit them that they were going to war and they were going to be in danger. The four of us had to wait another week until we learned that two were going to Alaska and two to Austria. I went to Camp Kilmer, New Jersey, in the New York Harbor, and on a troop ship for 18 days of seasickness, claustrophobic quarters, and unimagined smells from the hundreds of sick GIs. We landed at Bremerhaven and then to Rotterdam to pick up some Dutch soldiers who were part of the UN forces going through the Suez to Korea. We landed at Leghorn, Italy, and then went by train through the Brenner Pass to Austria. For a good kid who'd never been 200 miles from home before the army, this was unbelievable. I'd never seen mountains or quaint little villages or heard many people speak foreign tongues. Our job in Austria was to be a deterrent to the Russians, who were just across the Danube River from us. Austria, it was said, was the gateway to the East and the Iron Curtain. Our borders were Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Yugoslavia, and the Russian zone of Austria. Against the overwhelming Russian forces just over the border, we had less than a division and some old leftover Sherman tanks, and our battalion had some old World War II half-tracks that often were out of service. We had on them were mounted either quad 50 caliber machine guns or a 40 millimeter with two 50 caliber machine guns. And this was supposed to stop the new Russian MiGs. It was obvious that we were not a fighting force, but that we represented the U.S., and to attack us was to attack the U.S. But we were never afraid. We had that cocky American attitude that they wouldn't dare attack us. I'm not sure that our high command share those feelings. But we were afraid of personal injury from the communist groups that were throughout Austria. On May Day, all our passes were canceled. One time I was changing trains south of Austria on the way to Italy, and while waiting, we went into a restaurant and caused a riot when one of the townspeople talked to us. We ran out and back to the station, but they didn't follow us. But in those days, the communists were very serious, and they hated Americans. I've wondered very often over the last 50 years why I was chosen to go to Austria while most of my classmates were going to be in harm's way in a cold, inhospitable land. I saw London, Paris, Rome, Vienna, and Venice while they were being overrun by the Chinese army. I came back home with hundreds of pictures of my travels while many of my classmates came